some great things that we've got going on here in our little body, and there's more great things to come in the coming weeks. We're hoping and praying and working on some things in leadership. So, anyway, over the last several weeks, we've talked here, Pastor Don shared, I've shared, about Jesus being the Word, and remember when he was tempted, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. How did Jesus combat that temptation?
With the Word.
With the Word. He spoke the Word. And he said, whenever Satan spoke, it was not the Word of God. There was something added to it, something taken away, something that was a misdirection, like a magician would do, a trickster would do, a misdirection. But Jesus, being the Word of God, spoke the truth. And after those three times, after the three temptations, it said that Satan fled, would come back for a more opportune time. And we know when that was. That was the time in the garden, just before the crucifixion, and even while Jesus was on the cross, some of those times, I think, where he wanted to give up that doubt and that fear that maybe overcame him, the human side of Jesus as he hung on the cross, that, Father, if there be any way, you know, it's like all that, the terrible things that went on during his ordeal. Today's message is entitled, Who Has the Authority and How Did They Get It? Who has the authority and how did they get it? Authority is an important notion. It's an important idea. It's possessed by people who work for particular government agencies, like police officers, firemen, military. There's places of business, or if we've been on any military base, any military post, there are signs. And even where I work, there are signs that say authorized personnel only beyond this point. No unauthorized personnel allowed.
All over the front of my garage.
All over, yeah. And people will do that as well. You know, the keep out kind of thing. You have to be authorized to be in. No one can just stop someone else. They have to be authorized, like highway patrol. Mm-hmm. You know, right. To be able to have that, they have this authority. In the Bible, it says when Jesus spoke, he spoke and taught with authority. And they were amazed. People were amazed. Even when he was 12, years old in the synagogue, and he spoke to the people. He spoke with authority. All the way through his life, through those 3 years of ministry, he spoke the Word of God, and he spoke with authority. And people hadn't done that before. I can't imagine, you know, that there were Pharisees, that there were rabbis in various synagogues, that they didn't speak with some authority. But when Jesus came, it was completely different. He had maybe magnetic, that, like, this guy really is saying, these are the words. He has made it come alive. Because Jesus is always the living Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus claimed, it said he forgave sin and demonstrated his authority to do so, and to do so by healing. He had the power to forgive sins, and they questioned him and said, who is this that has the power to forgive sin? And he said, so that you know I have this authority. And then he performed a miracle to show that he had the authority to be one who would forgive sins. Now, you know I like definitions, and authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and force obedience. That's what authority is. Some of the synonyms are power, jurisdiction, dominion, sovereignty, supremacy. Maybe we've seen the past week of the celebration and the memorial service of D-Day, where you have the royal family and the president of the United States, these two countries coming together, and this maybe majesty on one hand, you know, the I don't know what to call it, the pageantry maybe of coming in, and the seriousness with the solemn, and the queen is sovereign. right?
Yep.
Our president here is not sovereign, but our government, the president has so much authority. Congress has so much authority that we've allowed them through our Constitution to have. So there's officials, government in charge. Now, where does the word authority come from? It comes from the word author, right? The root word of authority is author. And an author is someone who has written the book. They've written the book on it. It's come out of their mouth to paper, to pen, you know, pen to paper, typewriter. It's come out. They are the author. They are the creator of this given work. The originator. And I'm going to go through these verses rather quickly just for the sake of time. Start in Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And I'm going to focus on 2, just again for time's sake. The author of Hebrews in verse 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." Jesus is the author of our faith. Where does that faith come from? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and what we hear is the word of God. That is the foundation to increase our faith. When we see the rest of Hebrews, or when we see Hebrews 11, we see the great stories, the hall of faith, all these men and women who believed God, who stepped out in faith, just like we're to do that. When we come to this place where we are emptied of self, when we've come to the end of our rope, when there's just a little bit of oil left in that jar, we don't know what to do. It was this idea that I had in my mind of the Lord takes one step ahead of us and then says, "Come on. Come on." And he's holding our hand. He's with us. And our job is to say, "Lord, I trust you. I'll have faith in you. I'll believe in you," and get even closer to stay side by side with him as we go, not falling backwards. He is the author and perfecter of faith. He's the Word. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand. Jesus is the author of faith, the creator, the maker. Faith comes by hearing, specifically hearing the word of God. And then he increases our faith in our lives as we see him answering prayers, as we see him moving in our life.
Yeah.
As we have our eyes opened and say, "Lord, I see you. Everywhere I go, I see you. Everywhere I go, I see you." Jesus went around because he had authority. He was able to give sight to the blind. He was able to make the deaf hear. Now, I've heard of miracles of people receiving physical sight. I've heard of people receiving miracles of having their hearing restored. I've seen miracles personally of cancers being healed. Mm-hmm. I've shared before of a baby's brain growing in her skull. I've seen evidence of miracles.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, in this particular place where we are right now, in the United States of America, where people are not being spiritual, they're claiming to be atheists or antitheists, they don't know, they're agnostic, they don't know. But there's this place where, and even in around the world, where Christians are being ridiculed more and more. The graffiti, the desecration of churches, we've heard a lot about that in France. And my belief now is to say, yeah, God, Jesus can still heal those who are physically blind and those who are physically deaf, but Faith comes by hearing the word of God. He opens our eyes.
Yeah.
He makes us to be able to see, to take these spiritual scales off of our eyes so that we can see, that to open up our spiritual ears so that we can hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, specifically hearing the word of God. Any and all authority, who does that come from? God. Every single authority on earth comes from God. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. There is no authority except from God. And there's a passage here in John chapter 19, verses 8 through 11. And this is when Jesus is being questioned by Pilate. He's been arrested. He's taken before the authority there in Jerusalem, the Roman authority in Jerusalem. Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above." Mm-hmm. Jesus held his tongue until this place where authority was challenged. And Jesus responded and said, "Pilate, you don't understand. The authority that you have comes from my Father. It's my authority. It's not yours." And he laid his life down willingly. We know the rest of the story. But even in the spiritual realm, authority comes from God. And there's not enough time, for the sake of just that brevity, again, there's no time to really go through Job chapter 1 and 2. But I would encourage you guys once again to look at Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. Here is a guy who did his best to follow the Lord, to serve God honorably. He was a guy who would offer sacrifices just in case his children sinned. You know, just in case they did something wrong, he was making amends to cover them. To say, you know, I want my family, my household, and he worshiped God. And I believe he worshiped God in spirit and truth, just the way the whole thing goes. But there's a couple of verses in Job chapter 1 and 2. And one of them is where Satan was going around on the earth, and the Lord says to him, "Where have you been?" And he said, "I've been going around to look for somebody." And the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And in verse 12, in Job chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." The Lord gave authority to Satan at that point over Job's life. To say, "The power, you now have the power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." God still had ultimate authority, but he allowed this trial to take place in Job's life. And we see the suffering that those around him went through. And we see how Job responded. It was an emotional destruction. It was a challenge of his faith. And then in Job chapter 2, in Job chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "So the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life.'" God gave Satan more authority that he was able to touch Job's body. And we know that there were boils that appeared, the Baghdad boils that they call them. If you've seen any pictures of them on the internet, they're just these huge, terrible things, and so much pain, so much agony, that he didn't just scratch. He actually took pieces of broken pottery to try to gain some relief. It just hurts that much. Have you ever been in that position where you have a lot of pain and it's like doing something else that, you know what, that's just increasing your pain level. Yeah, but it's taking my mind off of this other pain. You know, it's like, I'll get that. Sometimes I'll get into poison ivy and I'll put the cortisone on or the Tecnu and try to get the oils to settle down a little bit, but then I'll still get those little bumps and I'll start scratching them, and then before you know it, I've gone down pretty. So anyway,
next time you acetone,
yeah,
look at all the oils off.
In verse 9, Job chapter 2, verse 9, we've heard this one before. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." He said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall I indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He gives and takes away. With every blessing you pour out, I'll give back. My heart will choose to say, "Blessed be your name." When I'm on the mountaintop, when I'm in the valley, when I'm in the desert, when it's going good, when it's going bad, from our own perspectives, we choose to give praise to God. Now, this isn't exactly the same, but there's another place where authority is given. Where the Lord gives authority to someone. In Revelation chapter 17, this is in the end times. Revelation chapter 17, 12 and 13. Verse 13 says about these 10 kings who receive a kingdom. There are 10 kings. There's a prophecy in Daniel, prophecy here in Revelation. Verse 13 says, "These have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast." So here are these kings who say, "You know what? We're going to let you take control of our nations. We're going to let you have our authority. We submit to you so that this one person can rise up and have all this authority." They gave it up. I want you to remember this point. Now, authority comes from God. Authority comes from Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 28, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases." Jesus called his disciples, and he gave them authority. You may remember in the book of Acts the magician that came? Was it Simon? The magician who came and said, "Give me this authority.
Yep.
Allow me to have a portion of this authority so I can do what you're doing." And they couldn't give it. Number one, we don't have the authority to give authority in the spiritual realm. We can lay hands on someone and say, "Lord, would you place the mantle upon them? Would you give them your authority to do this, to speak? Would you bless them with the Holy Spirit that they would have authority?" He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, this is one like John 3:16. This is one that we all know. We hear it. We speak on it continually here in this little church. Matthew 28, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore.'" Why? All authority has been given to him. And at that moment, the disciples are made as ambassadors. They have authority. They are made as officers within the kingdom of God. We are made as those who have authority to serve. As it says elsewhere, we're soldiers in God's army. We now have authority. Make disciples, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Earlier in Matthew chapter 10, this is another. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. At one point he gave 70. There were 70 people, and he gave them authority to do the same. And this is in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. In verse 19, it says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Later on, they come back, right? And they're like so happy. Look, we had this power. We had this power to heal people. We had this power that nothing would harm us. And Jesus, in a little bit of a rebuke or an admonition, a bit of encouragement, says, you know, you shouldn't be so happy that you've been given this authority to do that, but you need to fear the one who has the authority to take your life. You know, I've given you authority. I'm sorry if this is really disjointed, but I'm just having a rough time today. The last 2 weeks, and then last week especially, I began to just see this word authority. In these verses, as I began to look, really just started to work in me, to kind of gestate, marinate inside, to think about these words, to think about authority. The authority that others have been given, the authority that we've been given, the Word of God, which dwells in us richly. Allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly, as it says, and speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Yes. We let the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, dwell in us richly. Dwell means to abode. It means to live, to take up a residence, to occupy. We are the temple of the Lord. Submit to let the Word of Jesus Christ dwell in you richly, which means abundantly. Rich. Not like as in great wealth, but thinking of like that chocolate cake we had over at the church there in Smithfield. That rich, just decadent. And I mean, not that it's decadent, but that richness.
Decadent.
Richness.
Yes. Wonderful.
Now, we've talked about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith. We've talked about him being the living Word of God. We've seen Jesus give authority to his disciples. We have been grafted in. We have been given authority through Matthew chapter 28. Almost by proxy. We've been given this same authority to be his disciples. We've been given this authority to do the work of God. The Lord has spoken over each one of us at different times in our lives. And I know he has. Because I've been there when the Lord has spoken through me to you in prayer. And many times through encouragement. Others of us here in this room have spoken the word of God over the other one. You know what I mean? In prayer. The Lord has given me a word. He's given me a vision for you. And we lay hands on and we pray. We've been to conferences. We've been to retreats where these things have happened. We've been in places where I do not know the person. And I'll pray for them. We saw this, the big one for me was in France. There was no way, no how I could know any of these people. And Don very often was the interpreter praying for people. Paul is the same way, you know, where he doesn't know the people, but he goes up there and pray. He can't speak a lick of French either. Well, not much. And Don would, and then the next thing you know, here's this person saying, "You've told me everything. You've said everything that I've been through, that I'm going through, what's going on in my life." And I remember Pascal was the one guy that we saw in Lyon. And he stays with me, this guy. But this authority, God has spoken over each one of us. And I know that I have authority from God. I know that I have authority to speak the truth. I know that I have the authority to believe what God has said over me. But I can choose to be like one of those 10 kings who give up their authority. when Jesus was being spoken to by Satan in the wilderness, he was being lied to.
Right.
He was being lied to. He could have given up his authority, but he said no. Just like he said to Pilate, any authority that you have comes from the heavenly Father. We have authority. We can choose to hear those tapes, the lies of the enemy in our heads. We can choose to hear or believe that we can't do something. We can choose to believe that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not wise enough, we don't have enough, we'll never get there. It's never gonna be any good. But that's giving the authority over to someone else. We don't need to give up our authority. I, for too long, have given up my authority in my own heart, in my own mind, in my own life, to let somebody else speak here in my mind,
right,
in my heart. Maybe this is just for me.
No.
Maybe it is. But there are times when we have to say, no. No. I'm not going to be like those 10 kings and give up my authority to someone else other than the Lord God Almighty, because he is the one from whom all authority comes. Satan, you have no authority here. Remember that song? You have no authority here. You have been crushed. He gave his disciples the authority to walk on the serpents, to tread on serpents and not be harmed. The head of the serpent is under the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
He has been crushed. He has been broken. He has no power, no authority, no longer. Is he still here? Is he still around? Is he still alive on planet Earth? Does he still speak? Yes, we see it all the time. We see it in a shooting in a municipal building in Virginia Beach. We see it in people getting into vans and driving into crowds. We see it in people planning to bomb in New York City. We see people using their quote-unquote authority, believing. They give it up to believe a lie.
Yes.
They give it up to believe something that's not true. Satan does not have any authority. Any authority he may have is because I give him up, I give it up to him, or the Lord says, you can do this, but don't touch him. You can do this, but don't touch his life. But in here, in my mind, in my heart, take every thought captive into obedience to Christ.
Yes.
Take every thought captive into obedience to Christ. Take every thought captive. What does that mean? It means you have the authority. You have the authority to take those thoughts captive into obedience to Jesus Christ. I'm almost preaching, I guess. I wasn't going to preach. But that's it in the nutshell. We have been given authority. Satan has no authority. We don't have to believe him. We don't have to listen to him. We do like Jesus and we speak the word of God. He is the word. He dwells in us. Allow him to dwell in yourself richly. And as we speak with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Tammy is an example to me because she, every morning, she gets up and she reads in her devotional and she reads in the Bible and she writes down things. I don't read what you write down, but she spends time every morning. And it's amazing to see how God works through her on her job, in our marriage, places that she goes. She's a little powerhouse. And I said it before when she wasn't here, when she was down there in South Carolina, you know, when I was bragging on my girl. But so Father, we thank you. I thank you so much for this epiphany, this revelation, this understanding.
Yes.
That we have authority that you have given to us, and that we do not have to turn over that authority to someone else. We don't have to listen to the lies. We don't have to listen to the doubt. We don't have to pay attention to those things that we might fear that might hold us back. Let us throw off everything that easily entangles us. Let us throw it off that we might run the race. That we might press on and move forward, even if it's little by little. You gave the disciples authority to tread on the serpent, to cast out demons, to heal. In all of those things, lives are changed. Father, we speak truth. We speak truth into Gregory and Isabel's life.
Yes.
By your authority, would you move? And even though Gregory doesn't understand, he doesn't know where to go, doesn't know where to turn, is frustrated, maybe there's some element of fear, would you give him the strength to endure?
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
With Tammy and I, there was a point in our marriage, and I've shared a little bit about it in the past. There was a point in our marriage where Tammy should have left me. And she would have been within her rights to do so. But I had prayed. I'd gone into the sanctuary in the building on Rainbow Boulevard, and I got my guitar, and I began to sing out and to pray. And the song came, "I am yours, I am not my own." And I prayed, and I said, "Lord, do whatever it takes, no matter what that means. No matter what it means." And he began to do what it took. And it wasn't overnight. But we pray and we say, "Lord, do whatever it takes." We don't know. You know, I mean, it could be down to absolutely nothing to get us through a situation. But he's never let us down. And I know a lot of it has to do with Tammy being in the Word and being in her devotional and writing stuff down every single day. So. So with that, don't forget to take a bag or two.
In the water bottle.
Are they hot water bottles? Okay.